a pallet and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Welcome back, my friends. Chef and the Fat Man live from Silky O'Sullivan's, where all the beautiful people are hanging out, wiping their seats off, trying to get dry. You know, there's nothing more exciting, sir, than sitting in a wet seat and then having that wet grate across the back end as you're walking around. People say, there goes a tourist. But anyway, they are standing next to the famous diving goats. They're sitting next to diving goats. I hope you don't get wet. But, of course, we haven't seen the SAG card on these goats, so they may not dive today.
You know, I think that they're just, it's that whole union thing. They're not diving. I don't think that they've dove for a while.
You know what? They're not on strike.
Are they on hiatus?
Yeah, you know what?
Isn't that the
temperamental
term? It's hiatus, I think. Right?
But always come in and ask about the diving goats, because you may be here when they do.
Hiatus in Hollywood, I think, means I don't have a job. So yeah, I'm waiting for my next
right.
job. That's what.
Tell you what, and these goats live large, man. Great attention. They get great food. They're pampered. They're treated better than we are, Chef Eric.
Well, that's not really hard, is it?
I was kind of hoping we could get the goat job here if those others pass over. You know, I could see us walk around on all fours bleeding.
You know, Chef Mike was considering doing a goat dish today, but
we thought
that Silky may
instead
roll down
of
here.
Going goats, he's taking a green tomato to a place where most people would never fathom a green tomato should pass.
Right. So in the first hour, we talked a little bit about this, but one of the things that Chef Mike is doing at Rizzo's Diner is changing up Southern traditional classics with a little bit of a twist to it to make it a Memphis kind of deal. And
he's kind of chuckling like you do over there. It's like kind of.
Yeah, he's done a great job. And one of the things he's done is he's creating a gravy with green tomatoes, not fried green tomatoes, because everyone thinks of fried green tomatoes, but actually using green tomatoes as a primary ingredient in this, that to highlight the tomato green tomato and use it in contrast to the flavor profiles in the meatloaf.
What impressed me about the green, anyone who's eaten green tomatoes, first time I ever had one, I just ate it to see what it was, tart. It's it's got a tartness to it.
Yeah,
I'm thinking,
like
wow, but what
like a
gravy.
Tomatillo, really.
Yeah, I mean, what a
yes,
gravy.
Very similar.
I never thought of it till I heard when you told me last night, Chef Eric, that Chef Michael was going to do a green tomato gravy. I said,
exactly.
Somebody, way to go, Chef Michael. That Rizzo's Diner is out of the box, baby.
All right, so let's talk about it. How do we do a green tomato gravy?
Well, I get started at the restaurant. You know, we make a larger batch, but if you're at home, three medium-sized green tomatoes are good to work with. You want to cut the core out. I mean, and really what we do at the restaurant is we blend this up with a food processor. I like to use a wand.
Okay. Immersion blender.
Yes, an immersion blender. That's the word I was looking for. But we'll cut those tomatoes down because they are hard. So we want them to be smaller so they can cook down and get soft. I use any type of white wine. Chardonnay is just fine. We use the oldest bottle at the restaurant, you know, a bottle that's 4 days old.
Something that may be turning pretty soon.
Exactly.
Although I do notice that that's nice and cooled, and it's a relatively nice bottle of wine there. So, I don't know. As soon as I get through my iced tea.
Now, see.
What? No?
It's just wrong. Chef Eric always tells everybody, sample the wine before you cook with it. But nowhere does it say that a sample should be 16 ounces.
Well, you know, everyone's a little bit different in their sampling sizes, and I think sampling a 16-ounce, cup of wine is fine.
So we would cut the tomatoes down and then add a couple shallots or red onion, however you feel.
Okay.
And then I like to use rosemary.
So you're just doing that in butter? What are you going to use as the base?
Well, I'm going to reduce this white wine and tomatoes in the pot.
Just wine and tomatoes?
Right. Wine, tomatoes, rosemary,
okay,
and a little red onion.
But to start out with, just the wine and tomatoes, you let those go first and then
yes,
add the rosemary and the red onion?
Uh-huh. And okay, I'll let that reduce down to what they call sec or almost till it's dry.
Okay.
Then I'm
going to,
this is where it gets good. I add a whole quart of cream. If you're making this at home, I'd add a half a quart of cream for what we're talking about. And I let that reduce down until
wow,
it is a little thick, and then we take that and we add a whole pound of butter to it.
Perfect. And then let me stop you there, though, because you add a half quart of cream to the tomato and wine and all that stuff. Tell me what's going to happen if I'm not watching that sitting on the stove.
Oh, we're going to burn it.
I'm going to burn it and maybe redecorate my kitchen.
That's quite possible.
So
it'll boil over right away. You know, we get it going and we cut it down to a simmer.
All right. So
it usually takes about 20 minutes to get where I want to be at.
So anytime you want to work with a cream, get to what they call a scald, but never to a boil.
Right.
And then bring that temperature down and watch it for a little bit, because until the temperature subsides, you still could actually have boil over, and you
sure.
just don't want that. So, all right, once you've reduced that down now and it's cooked for a while, what are you doing after that?
I'm going to pull it off. I'm going to remove the rosemary sprigs.
Okay.
And then I'm going to, with an emulsion blender, add a pound of butter to that, a little bit
Love
at
it.
A time,
Love
not
it.
At one whole time, to get a good incorporation of the butter. And it'll, you know, stand, it'll last 3 or 4 days in the refrigerator. I suggest if you reheat it to add just a little spot of cream or milk to it just to kind
just
of bring, it,
bring
back.
It back together, because exactly. it'll break a little bit naturally
sure.
when you're reheating it. Now tell me about the butter. Is the butter coming out of the fridge, or is it
actually
more
room temperature?
Cut
into small pieces. It helps with the blending process, kind of emulsifies a lot quicker for you.
Right.
And it just adds this creamy velvetness to the sauce. And I call it gravy because we're here in the South.
I like it.
But, you know,
there's no flour in this, though.
No.
Right.
No. And it's more a traditional, you know, my background is fine dining, French cooking, a lot of the experience I have. So it definitely has those characteristics. But since meatloaf gets served with gravy and we're in the South, I call it green tomato gravy.
I love it.
Well, you know what I call gravy that they don't put flour in?
Yeah, marinara.
Healthy? No, flourless gravy.
No, you call awesome, gravy, Kevin. You're one of those northerners that calls gravy everything that goes on pasta, right?
Well, I'm from the other side, from the Brooklyn side, where, you know, gravy or red sauce, gravy or red sauce. Hey, listen, I'm Irish. I know which side. In fact, I could even speak East L.A. You ever heard my East L.A.?
Is there potato gravy? I didn't realize there was potato
yes.
gravy. Guinness gravy? There you
Absolutely.
Go.
You got that right, Holmes. See, I can speak many languages.
Yeah, right, okay. So, all right, you're going to simmer this and let it reduce down a little bit. And then we've got the meatloaf. And maybe I could talk Chef Joe into getting us, or someone to getting us some plates.
Some little plates. I
for,
could do that.
To serve this great meatloaf. But do you have to worry about this breaking? Once you've added that butter back in, that extra little bit of butter or cream, is this going to break potentially if they simmer it too long, or...
It definitely will. I mean, you know, once we get that butter blended into it, we put it in a bain-marie or a steam well at
okay.
the restaurants while we hold it in. And like I said, you get a few days out of it, and you could reheat it a little bit at a time.
Now, if you are going to store this, if you're going to put it in the refrigerator, by all means, let it come down to room temperature. Don't stick it in some sort of a jar or whatever. Put it directly into the refrigerator. A couple things happen. One happens, it raises the temperature in the refrigerator, and you can start bacteria growth on things in your refrigerator and on the sauce for that matter. But secondly, it's just not food safe to do that. So let it come to room temperature once you've brought it off, and then you can put it in the fridge.
And before we serve this up for people who are just tuning in or just arriving, we're going to be serving up not your mama's meatloaf. It's a very unique meatloaf that Chef Michael Patrick from Rizzo's Diner has served up. And it's different because if you'd like meatloaf, you'll love this because it's made with 30% chorizo. So it's got a nice little kick to it. It's got a nice flavor. And then smothered or laced with a beautiful, incredible green tomato gravy. So, my friends... Chef, listen, are we going to make these recipes available for our vast listening audience, or are these proprietary?
Recipes. Yes, we are.
So these recipes can be found on tripdubchefandthefatman.com, chefandthefatman.com. Chef and the Fat Man is all one word, and if I have to spell Chef and the Fat Man for you, forget about it. You don't deserve the recipe. Figure it out. But it's coming out right now, Chef Eric. Man, that looks like an incredible meatloaf.
It does. This looks.
You know what I could see that
fantastic.
On? Two slabs of white bread with about a half pound of mayonnaise. And it's cold. That would be nice.
Ooh.
Of course, I do anything that's fattening because that's why they call me not the chef, the other guy. Food, fun, and celebrating a good life. When we come back, Chef Joe, the wonderful chef here at Silky O'Sullivan's, is going to introduce you to the Silky Sausage. Oh, my God, what is that?